Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. We Need Your Art, Stop Messing Around and Make Something by Amy McNee is a contemporary creativity and self-help book that functions as both manifesto and practical guide. Written by a novelist and creative coach, it argues that making art is not a luxury or a side activity, but a necessary human practice with personal and cultural value. The book speaks directly to people who want to create but feel blocked by procrastination, perfectionism, imposter syndrome, shame, or uncertainty about whether their work matters. Rather than promising dramatic transformation through inspiration alone, it emphasizes small, repeatable habits and a more grounded relationship with creative work. Its structure reflects that purpose, combining encouragement, reflection, and concrete exercises such as journal prompts and a two-week reset plan designed to help readers begin again or build consistency. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, creativity as a necessary practice, not an optional hobby. The central claim of the book is that art making matters in a deeper sense than personal entertainment or self-expression alone. McNee frames creativity as something people and cultures need, not merely something they may choose if they have extra time. That distinction is important because it challenges the common habit of postponing creative work until all practical responsibilities are solved. By treating art as a legitimate and necessary form of contribution, the book gives readers a stronger basis for taking their creative urges seriously. This also broadens the meaning of artistic practice. The value of making something is not limited to professional recognition, commercial success, or polished output. Instead, the act itself becomes meaningful. The book repeatedly returns to the idea that creativity can support self-knowledge, resilience, and collective healing, which gives the argument moral weight without making it abstract. In that way, the book is less about talent and more about permission, responsibility, and the refusal to dismiss creative work as trivial. Secondly, the two-week reset plan and the power of small daily work. A distinctive practical feature of the book is its two-week reset plan, which is designed to help readers restart a stalled creative life without relying on a burst of motivation. The plan reflects the book's larger philosophy that sustainable practice is built through small, repeated actions rather than heroic productivity. McNee encourages modest goals such as writing a few hundred words a day or making a simple sketch regularly, because consistency is more reliable than intensity. This approach matters for readers who are often trapped by all-or-nothing thinking. If they cannot create something impressive, they do nothing at all. The book argues instead that small output is not a compromise, but the foundation of long-term artistic progress. It also helps reduce burnout, since daily work set at a realistic scale is easier to maintain and less likely to trigger the collapse that follows overambitious creative sprints. In practical terms, the reset plan translates the book's philosophy into a habit-building framework that readers can immediately test. Thirdly, how the book addresses perfectionism, procrastination, and the inner critic. Much of the book is devoted to the internal barriers that stop people from creating. McNee treats perfectionism, procrastination, imposter syndrome, and the inner critic as interconnected problems rather than isolated flaws. That matters because creative blockage is often not caused by lack of interest, but by fear of being judged, fear of producing something mediocre, or fear that making art will reveal inadequacy. The book responds to these fears with practical reframing rather than abstract reassurance. It does not deny the emotional reality of self-doubt. Instead, it shows how self-doubt becomes a habit of avoidance. By naming these patterns directly, the book helps readers recognize that hesitation is often a protective strategy that has simply outlived its usefulness. This analysis is one of the book's strongest contributions because it turns a vague sense of being stuck into something more legible and therefore more workable. The result is a guide for moving through resistance rather than waiting for it to disappear on its own. Fourthly, reclaiming the identity of artists without shame. Another important layer of the book is its focus on identity. McNee encourages readers to claim the word artist rather than reserve it for a small elite group of officially recognized professionals. This is not just a semantic point. It changes how readers understand their relationship to creative work. Many people hesitate to identify as artists because they feel they have not earned the title, have not produced enough, or do not fit a narrow cultural image of what an artist should be. The book challenges that shame directly and argues that creative identity should be based on participation, not perfection. This reprogramming of self-understanding matters because identity often determines behavior. People are more likely to create consistently when they see creation as part of who they are. The book also suggests that self-recognition can be liberating because it reduces the need for external validation. In this sense, the book is not only about making art, but also about dismantling the internal hierarchy that keeps many would-be creators on the sidelines. Lastly, reflection, journal prompts, and the book's coaching-oriented structure. The book is structured to be interactive, not merely inspirational. Each chapter includes journal prompts that invite readers to turn general ideas into personal action, which distinguishes it from many creativity books that remain at the level of encouragement. This coaching-oriented design makes the book more useful for readers who need a way to translate motivation into reflection and habit. The prompts help readers identify where their resistance comes from, what kind of practice they can actually sustain, and how they want to define success in creative terms. That process matters because creative change usually fails when ideas are accepted intellectually but never tested in daily life. By building in moments of written reflection, the book creates a bridge between reading and doing. It also reinforces the book's practical tone. The reader is not just consuming advice, but participating in a guided reset. This makes the book especially suitable for people who want a combination of emotional support, tactical structure, and self-assessment rather than a purely theoretical discussion of creativity. In conclusion, We Need Your Art will be most valuable to readers who feel called to create but are stalled by hesitation, self-criticism, or the pressure to make something exceptional immediately. It is especially well-suited to writers, visual artists, and other creatives who want a practical but emotionally intelligent guide for returning to work. The book offers clear benefits. It normalizes creative struggle, provides a manageable framework for rebuilding habit, and helps readers replace shame with a more durable sense of artistic identity. Compared with many books in the creativity and self-help category, it stands out for combining manifesto-like urgency with day-to-day usability. It does not merely encourage readers to be inspired. It gives them a way to begin, continue, and recover after setbacks. Its emphasis on small sustainable practice, reflective prompts, and the cultural value of art gives it a more grounded and comprehensive shape than generic motivational writing. For readers who need both permission and structure, it is a distinctive and practical contribution to the genre. If you would like to support Amy McNee, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.